Good morning. I invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll just be starting out in verses 9 and 10, but we'll be moving around a little bit today. If you don't have a Bible with you, that's all right. There's some Bibles in front of you, if you look down, available for you to use as well. So we are on week four of our six week mini series on the major topics found in Proverbs, and we explored in the past couple weeks what Proverbs says about our words, the family, and friendship. And this week I will speak on the topic of work, more specifically, what Proverbs says about being a sluggard. It said that there are three kinds of workers. For example, when a piano is being moved, the first gets behind and pushes. The second pulls and guides. And the third grabs the piano stool. I think we all know people who could fit in each of those categories, right? Work is a big part of our lives. And if you looked out over this whole congregation, you would see a vast array of workers. So some have full-time jobs, some have part-time jobs, some have multiple jobs, some have no job at all. Others have worked their whole lives and now they are retired. And still others are too young as they have not even held an official job as of yet. But whatever work looks like in your life, we cannot get around this one fact. We are all faced with work. Even if you don't have a job, you still do work. Think about, at your house. You clean your house, you clean your room, you do the dishes, you take out the trash, whatever it may be. We are faced with some sort of work in our lives. So as you think about this sermon, don't just think specifically about a job. You can, but also think about just your normal life of work. So we are faced with work, but the question that Proverbs confronts us with is this. How do you respond to work? Do you constantly push it off? Do you just go ahead and do it? What's your thinking when it comes to work? What's your attitude? And as we look at the book of Proverbs, it paints people in one of either two categories. They're either a sluggard or they are diligent. Now, as we talk about a sluggard today, and it's a really funny word, right? It sounds funny, at least. Kind of sounds like a slug, slow and just doesn't do much. But a sluggard, let me make myself clear. When Proverbs talks about the slothful person, it is not speaking about someone who cannot work because of physical or mental limitation. Also, Proverbs is not talking about the person who works hard yet doesn't make much money. That's different as well. Instead, it's speaking about the person who is totally capable of working but chooses not to do so. Essentially, as we think about it, the lazy person, right? That's what it talks about. It speaks of a poor person who is poor because they don't want to work. So there's many people who are poor, even though they work multiple jobs. It's not talking about them. It's talking about the person who is poor because they don't want to work. And what we first tackle today is the outlook of the sluggard. So this outlook is their attitude. What is their attitude when it comes to work? When they're faced with work head on, what do they do that leads them to inaction? What's their attitude? How do they handle it? What do they say or do? And the first thing that we see, well, you see it throughout Proverbs, is they like to say, just a little bit longer. The lazy person will always do it tomorrow and never today. Tomorrow never comes, right? Because it's always tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. The lazy person wants a little bit more time, but yet that little bit more time is never enough for them. One of the best things that sluggards are good at is procrastination. Now, prioritizing is not procrastinating. There are times where we actually have to put things off because there are more important matters to deal with. That's prioritizing. But I'm talking about plain old procrastinating. So the art of kicking the can down the road, that's what I'm talking about. Look down there at Proverbs 6, 9 through 10. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So here's someone confronting the sluggard and asking them, you know, how long are you going to lie there? And notice the sluggard's response. This could be the sluggard's response or the person imitating his response. But either way, a little sleep, a little slumber. So they essentially saying, just a little longer, a little bit more rest. And then in verse 9, it's implied the sluggard has already been lying around all day. So it's like, how long are you going to lie there? So it's not like this guy has been working all day, he's super tired, and he's legitimately tired. No, this guy has been lounging around. And he says, just give me more time to rest. We even see in Proverbs that on the rare occasions that the sluggard does start work, they're too lazy to finish the job. 12:27 says, whoever is slothful will not roast his game. So here's a guy who has started work. He has hunted and caught an animal, but he's too lazy to roast it. So he did the work of getting it, but it's like the work of actually making it for food. It's like, oh, that's too much. This guy has food right there in front of him, waiting for him to roast and to benefit off of his work, but he doesn't want to. It's just too much work for him. So the sluggard says, just a little longer in procrastination. But he also says, I'm too tired. I'm too tired. A glaring problem in the slothful person is that they love rest so much that it's a detriment to everything else in their life. So the sluggard's response to anything is, I'm too tired. Turn to Proverbs 26, Proverbs 26, 14. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. So here's some vivid imagery of how a sluggard is like on his bed is like that door turning on its hinges. So think about a door. It's firmly fixed to that frame by the hinges. And it doesn't really go too far, you know. And so also, I believe the imagery here is that's what a sluggard is like. So he's hinged to his bed, so he doesn't really go too far, and he's firmly fixed to that bed. So try to get him off that bed. It's very hard, kind of like a door on its hinges. They like to lounge around all day. All activity and work are nowhere to be found. One verse later, so 26:15, there's this comical but yet sad proverb given. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. So even the act of moving his or her hand to his mouth to eat is too much work. Small things are a struggle for the sluggard. You wouldn't think that lifting your hand to your mouth to eat would be that much work, but it's way too much work for the slothful person. They think, I'm too tired to do this. You know, I'm worn out from this whole lifting my hand to eat thing. Just the thought of work mentally wears out the slothful person. But also we can see in Proverbs that the sluggard makes ridiculous excuses. So they say, I need to get out of doing this. In an attempt to avoid any and all work, they shirk their responsibilities by sometimes using the most absurd excuses they can find. Look there at 26:13. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. There is a lion in the streets. So this is crazy. Lions did not roam the streets. They are found in the wooded areas. So what's going on here? He's using a crazy excuse to get out of doing work, to get out of doing something. I was thinking about a modernized version of this proverb might be something like, I can't go to work today, an airplane might fall from the sky on me. Right? It's just a crazy excuse. But they're using anything they can find. I need to get out of doing this. I have to get out of this. So I'm going to pull at straws to get out of doing this. The truth about sluggards is this. Sluggards do what they want to do. They don't do what they don't want to do. I know it's a little hard to think of. They do what they want to do. So they find time, they can do what they want to do, but they do not do what they do not want to do. It's like, I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to find as many excuses as I can to get out of it. So what's the big problem in their lives? What causes them to remain in this sluggishness? In their pride, they are unteachable. They say, I am so wise. Look there at 26:16. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. See, the slothful person doesn't think he's lazy. He thinks he's wise. He thinks he's wiser than he is, and so he doesn't take correction or rebuke correctly either. He thinks, look at me, look at how I'm getting out of things, right? I'm so wise. He says, I need this rest. Look how wise I am. I'm planning ahead, right? He thinks, I need rest. Look what I'm doing. I'm wise. And in his own eyes, he's wise, but in God's eyes, he's a fool. And when we are wise in our own eyes, we are on this dangerous path of unteachability and folly. But when we are wise in God's eyes, we are right where we belong. The slothful person procrastinates. They sleep and rest way too much. They make crazy excuses and they think they are wiser than they are. But this is not the way of wisdom. This is not the way that God has intended us to live. God does not want us to be sluggards. He has given us our minds, our gifts, our physical bodies, not so that we can waste them, but so that we can use them being good stewards of what God has given to us. Now, as you think about your own life, you may not lay in bed all day long. You might not struggle to put the fork to your mouth. But you can actually still have some of these qualities show up in your life. Reflect, consider, do I have sluggard tendencies in my life? Do you constantly procrastinate? Does it always have to be tomorrow or do it? Tomorrow or do it? Are small things just way too much for you to do? Is the thought of work wearisome? Do you make excuses to get out of doing work? What about this? Do you make excuses to get out of serving in the church? Are you wiser in your own eyes so that no one can confront you with wrong? May your outlook not look like the sluggard, but look like someone who is diligent and who uses our time and our bodies productively for God's glory. So that's the outlook of the sluggard, but Proverb also shows us the objective of the sluggard. So what's the objective? What's the goal? What's the motivation for the sluggard? Why does he or she do what they do? What drives them to be lazy? The motivation is selfishness. The objective is pleasure. So the idol in the heart of the lazy person is him or herself. Think about Proverbs 21:25-26, and it speaks about how the desire of the sluggard kills him, and that he craves and craves all day long, yet the righteous gives and does not hold back. You see, the problem with the sluggard is that he desires a lot of things, but he never does anything. He wants and wants things for himself, but he doesn't actually work for it. And this idleness just brings ruin upon himself. You see, the sluggard's selfishness actually backfires on him. So he craves all this stuff, but because he doesn't work, then it's kind of like he never gets it. It backfires. He thinks that I'm getting pleasure, and he craves all these things, but ultimately he doesn't get pleasure because he doesn't work for it. On the other hand, the righteous gives freely to others. So they work hard, they obtain enough for themselves and other people. And interestingly, look at how the sluggard is contrasted with the righteous. So what does that imply? He's not righteous. She's not righteous. Because laziness isn't just this little tiny deficiency in our lives that we can laugh off. It is actually a spiritual problem. Because why? Because it's rooted in selfishness. And therefore it's sin. Another example of this is found in Proverbs 13:4, which speaks about the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. So the sluggard desires things, but he doesn't get anything because he won't work. Sloth is ultimately unsatisfying because it cannot provide you with anything. So you think that you're getting pleasure and comfort of extra sleep, extra rest, avoiding work, and you think it's going to be satisfying, but ultimately it doesn't finally satisfy you. You aren't joyous. You're miserable. And your deepest cravings are not satisfied. Because there's something God has created work. There's something in work that is satisfying. I have accomplished something. I am providing for the needs of myself and others. And God has created work. Remember, work was there before the fall. Now, the hardness of work wasn't there, but work was still there. You think of Adam in the garden, naming the animals and doing other tending the garden. And in work, there is a satisfaction of being productive, providing for your needs, accomplishing things. So if you have these sluggard tendencies, really think about what drives you. What drives you? What's your motivation? Is it yourself? Do you have to have pleasure and comfort at all times? Is that your daily goal? Remember that pleasure and comfort are not going to bring ultimate satisfaction. Tear down that idol of self and realize that they cannot bring you everything in this life. They cannot bring you ultimate satisfaction. The world doesn't revolve around you and your comfort, but we're meant to provide for ourselves, help others, and serve others. God has given us precious minds, precious bodies, precious gifts, precious time. Use them. Use them. Serve others. Sacrifice your wants for other people's needs. Work hard. Discomfort and pain aren't always a bad thing. We shouldn't always avoid them like the plague. You know what? If you're tired from a long day's work, that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Work hard. Rest up, wake up, and get back at it tomorrow. That's what we're called to do. The way that work should work is found in Proverbs 16:26. A worker's appetite works for him, his mouth urges him on. So work is essential to living. So a major driving force in our work is actually our appetite. What we could say is to provide for our needs. The way it should work is that we know we have to provide for our needs, for our family's needs, whatever it may be, help others. So then what happens with the sluggard then? If our appetites should drive us to work, why don't they drive the sluggard to work? Because pleasure is their number one objective. They're going to use all means necessary to obtain it. Work is too hard. It's not pleasurable to them. And they seek the easy way out. They use shortcuts. You see, the slothful person obviously has needs, as we all do, but the thought of working is too much. And what happens for the sluggard is one of two things. They have these needs, but they don't work, so they either become poor or they mooch off of other people because they will not work. Even Paul saw this happening. Think of Thessalonians. He said, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Meaning, if this person is not going to work, then let the natural consequences come upon him until he gets the point. You see, the objective of the sluggard is pleasure, and they're going to do anything to achieve that goal. The problem is that they are selfish. They have to have pleasure, or else they're going to get upset, because self is their idol. You may even have a job, but you can still have a slothful mindset, a heart problem. Is self your idol, yourself? Does it drive you to seek more and more comfort at all costs, no matter what it is? Does any inconvenience, hard work, or pain make you extremely upset? We can easily get caught up in the same motivation, the same objective, where we snap at a family member because they ask us to do something that involves work. We snap at a coworker or boss because they put a little bit more on our plate this week. And in those moments, we are showing off our idol. Our comfort is the most important thing in the world. And that's the objective of the sluggard. So what's the outcome of being a sluggard? What's the outcome? Like any time we get away from God's wisdom, there are consequences. The sluggard has an effect on others. Many times people think that, you know, my laziness only really affects myself, right? No, it affects other people. In 10:5, the son who gathers in the summer is prudent, but the son who sleeps in harvest brings shame. So in some respects, our work ethic can bring shame upon our family and hurt our family because we're not helping them. We're not sharing our load. We're not doing our part. In 18:9, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. So being a slacker in your work can bring ruin and destruction, just like someone who intentionally destroys, but you're just doing it passively. Laziness does more damage than you think. Those who are sluggards at their jobs are not just a harmless nuisance. Mr. and Mrs. Lazy Bones also affects their boss, or those who put their trust in them. Proverbs 10:26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. So think about sitting at a fireplace. You're up at camp, right? Sitting at a fireplace and smoke gets in your eyes and what are your feelings? Hurt, irritation, exasperation. It's like, and the smoke keeps following you around the campfire, right? This is what the sluggard does to somebody who sends them out on a task. The sluggard's boss ends up irritated, exasperated, because he didn't complete the task. He was too lazy. And ultimately, it would have been easier and less irritating if he never even sent him. We must realize that our laziness has an effect on other people, because really, we're all dependent on other people for work. When other people don't share the load and do their part, it hurts the whole. As we think about this and apply it to the church realm, when it comes to serving in the church, do you do your part? Do you step up? Do you help in different ways? By not stepping up and sharing the load and helping out, that load has to be given to someone else. People who are already doing a lot. And this leads to burnout in people. It leads to inefficiency in ministry. Do you shy away from serving because of the work it entails? Maybe a practical way for you to apply this message is to volunteer to serve in some area of ministry. But not only does the sluggard affect other people, but the sluggard affects him or herself too. 10:4, a slack hand causes poverty. 14:23, mere talk tends only to poverty. 12:24 talks about how the diligent rise to the top and the slothful fall to the bottom. Turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24:30-34. I won't read it, but the author here gives us an example. And he talks about walking past this field of a sluggard. And here it is. You can just picture in your mind. It's overgrown with thorns. It's covered with nettles. The stone wall is broken down, so it's in bad shape. And he intentionally considers this. And that's what the wise do. They consider this. And they make connection that laziness leads to self-inflicted poverty. So think about it. The sluggard had this great resource. So he had this field. But in his laziness, he just let it go. He didn't want to work it. He didn't want to tend it. And obviously, you know, nature is going to happen. The thorns are coming, the wall is going to break down, and nettles are going to be there. And he squanders it all. If only he was diligent, he would have had this great resource that would have provided for, you know, himself or his family. But in his laziness, he just squanders it all. You see, the sluggard, he thought he was doing himself a favor, right? I'm resting up, right? This is great. I'm getting some comfort, right? I don't really want to work in the field right now. Every day, I don't want to work in that field. Man, this is great. I'm getting this comfort. I don't have to be out there sweating and toiling the ground. But then he realizes, man, what have I done, right? This place is overgrown and it's taken over and it's all gone. At least for that year. He's hurting himself in the long run. And when you only think of the temporary great feeling of sleep and rest and relaxation, you are on a path of trouble. You aren't being wise. You're not thinking through, what are the consequences of my decisions here? If I do not do this, what happens? I'm going to lose this great resource. I'm going to squander it all. But they don't think through that. They're not being wise. Proverbs 15:19 says, the way of the sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. So you think that being lazy will bring you this comfortable life and smooth, but actually you're making your life this hedge of thorns where it's painful. And it's a place of pain and inactivity. But then the path of the diligent, the path of the hard worker, it may take some toil, but ultimately it's a smooth and level highway. The slugger thought they were getting out of pain. They thought they were getting out of trouble, but they cause even more trouble and more lasting pain for themselves in the end. Because laziness brings you more trouble than you planned. And truly, the way of wisdom is ultimately smoother and less painful in the long run. So the outcome, really, of the sluggard is trouble, ruin. You hurt others, you hurt yourself. So what's the way forward? How do we get out of this lazy disposition? The way forward is to look and learn. And Proverbs shows us that specifically in Proverbs 6:6-8, many of us know the look to the ant, sluggard, and be wise. The ant has no boss telling it what to do. It just works hard without being told. The ant is long-sighted. It gathers its food beforehand. This tiny little ant is a harder working, more hardworking than many. So we are to look at that little ant. It's like, it's almost like he's telling us, stoop down at this little tiny ant and look at his work ethic and then look at yours. And learn to be wise and work hard and plan ahead. But then also, as we think more broadly, we are to look and learn from Christ. Think about Christ. He is the master worker who upholds and sustains the universe. He came to this earth. He worked hard being a carpenter for most of his life. He worked hard in ministry. He was healing and teaching people regularly. He said to his opponents, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." And the greatest work that he did was on the cross, where he died for our sins and was raised from the dead. And it's through his work that we are forgiven, that we can rest in him and our lives are changed. So work is not to be avoided, but it is a good thing, and it's to be done to the glory of God. Christ is a perfect example of that, of the hard working, of a hard worker. He didn't need to come to this earth, but he did it out of love. He worked hard for us. And we're all accountable to God, each and every one of us. And we are to be stewards, good stewards of the gifts that he has given to us, of the bodies that he has given to us. And so really our work ethic, it flows out of this gratefulness for Christ. But also, as Scripture points out, it flows out of the knowledge that we are ultimately serving Christ in our work. Dave talked about Colossians, and I'm reminded of Colossians 3, 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Fundamentally, we serve Christ as we work. So we are called to work heartily for him. So when it comes to work, Proverbs kind of gives us a wake-up call. It says, wake up, sluggards. Open your eyes and get going. And that's really what Proverbs does. It's like a slap in the face, and it's like, wake up and just work. You know, stop lying around and get to work. Don't procrastinate. Don't slack. Don't make crazy excuses. Don't love sleep and rest so much that just a detriment to things in your life. But open your eyes. Get going. Use what God has given you each day for your good and his glory. And really, this whole sermon, this whole study pushes us out of laziness. It pushes us out of laziness in our jobs and in our homes. But think about this. It also pushes us out of spiritual laziness. Spiritual laziness, too. Think about your life and how there are some of the hardest working people in their homes and in their jobs. But when it comes to their walk with the Lord, they are absolute sluggards. They can work sun up and sun down at their house. But ask them to do something at church and they start running away. When it comes to mowing the grass at their house, they find time. But Bible reading and prayer, it can wait. When it comes to fishing and hunting and knitting or whatever it may be, they work hard. They get up early in the morning. They are diligent and do everything that needs to be done. But ask them to fight sin and they are too tired. Oh, if we fought sin and prayed and read the Bible and served like we work at our house, at our jobs, how much more godly would we be? If we were spiritually hardworking, if we were diligent and we're in God's Word and on time and reading the Bible and fighting sin with everything that we got, how much more Christ-like would we be? Now, of course, we don't work in our spiritual lives to earn favor with God. No, no. But we do it out of gratitude, and we want to grow, and we love Christ. So may we be diligent, hard workers in both realms of life. Yeah, at our jobs and our homes, but also in our spiritual lives. Where we follow Christ's example of work, where we're motivated out of the grace that he has shown for us, that he would come and he would work for people like us. And really, he continues to do work, right? He intercedes for us as our great high priest at the right hand of God. So open your eyes and get going, get to work. Open your eyes, look to Christ, the master worker whose work for you has opened up the way to be reconciled to the great and gracious God. The God who gives us everything, that gives you everything that you need to work hard. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today that for your word. And I pray that your word would go forth, and that it would work in each of our lives. That it would prick our hearts to work hard for your glory in our jobs, in our homes, in our spiritual lives. That we wouldn't be lazy. We'd be good examples to the world of what a Christian should do in their jobs, in their lives. And that we would ultimately remember that we are serving you as whatever work we may do at home, being a mother, a homemaker, or at our jobs, in the office, or building on a building site. We're serving you ultimately. So help us remember that. And to not be lazy, but work hard. In Christ's name, amen.